Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 32 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Samantha Morrow.
We have all of our trucks ready, and we, you know, have our salt domes stocked, so, you know, we're ready for whatever comes our way. It just looks kind of iffy this weekend. We're not sure exactly what's going to happen.
Alan Blair of the Kentucky Highway Department says state crews are prepared if their services are in demand this weekend.
Police in Carter County say a woman apparently drowned in Grayson Lake Wednesday.
And some Kentuckians rally for school choice in Frankfort today.
In sports, the Round County boys basketball team travels to Mason County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
And cloudy tonight with scattered snow showers, lows in the 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Northeastern Kentucky is getting its first real blast of winter today and tomorrow, and state highway crews are responding. Alan Blair is spokesman for District 9 of the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
We had planned to brine on state highways across Northeast Kentucky today. However, the snow showers have kind of put that on hold in some places where the pavement's wet. We still hope to get some brine down if the pavement dries, and in areas where the pavement is dry tonight, maybe some on Saturday.
Blair says during winter storm operations, highway crews work 12-hour shifts and make use of more than 75 snowplows, salt spreaders, and other equipment. District 9 is responsible for the maintenance of some 2,000 miles of roadway in northeast Kentucky.
Police in Carter County have discovered the body of a woman in Grayson Lake. Grayson Police Chief Kevin McDavid says the victim was pulled from the Grayson Reservoir early Thursday. Her truck was parked on a ramp nearby. McDavid tells WLEX there were initial concerns that her vehicle may have been hijacked and that she was kidnapped, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
We don't think that the vehicle was stolen. We don't think that she was kidnapped at this point. Our investigation and witnesses seem to lead us in that direction. There has been some posts on Facebook that people are concerned, and we appreciate that kind of thing. But I also want people to know that, you know, that at this time, it's not a murder case.
Family and friends tell the Lexington station the woman was Sharon Dunn. She was reported missing after leaving a Family Dollar store Wednesday afternoon.
A 42-year-old coal miner was killed Thursday in an accident in an underground Pike County mine. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
The Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet identified the victim as Ray Hatfield of High Hat, Kentucky. Hatfield was a conveyor belt attendant with 23 years of experience and suffered fatal injuries inside the RNC Coal LLC Mine No. 2 in Pikeville. The mine was shut down after the accident and will remain closed while the investigation is underway. Officials from the Kentucky Division of Mine Safety were sent to the scene Thursday night and remain on site. Energy and Environment Cabinet Secretary Charles Snavely is extending condolences to the family and promises a thorough probe into the miner's death. Reporting for Morton State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Ohio authorities say the investigation into the fatal shootings of 8 people from one family led to unrelated drug charges against 2 people, including a distant cousin of the victims. Ohio's Attorney General and Pike County's sheriff said Friday that evidence in the drug case was found during investigation of the rodent slayings from last April, but the case isn't related to the homicides. They say a 38-year-old rodent relative was arrested Thursday. He's charged with felony drug trafficking. His 63-year-old neighbor was charged with drug possession. Authorities say they searched those defendants' homes in Peebles and seized guns, prescription pills, over $8,000 in cash, and a small amount of marijuana. There's been public speculation that the rodent homicides were linked to drug activity, but the motive remains a mystery.
A West Virginia corrections spokesman says a Western Regional Jail officer has been fired after she allegedly was seen entering a cell where drug contraband was later found. A 28-year-old Brittany Branham of Louisa, Kentucky, was being held Thursday in the South Central Regional Jail on $25,000 bond. A criminal complaint by state police in Cable County Magistrate Court charges Branham with bringing contraband into a correctional facility. It says among the items found inside the cell were cigarettes, loose tobacco and rolling papers, a crack pipe, and syringes. Media outlets report the items were intended for an inmate. The jail cell was outside of Branham's assigned area. Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety spokesman Lawrence Messina says Branham is no longer a jail employee.
A former LaRue County High School principal has pleaded innocent to more than 60 counts of federal child pornography charges. The story from Haley Hansen.
Court documents say Kyle Goodlett had previously admitted to police that he downloaded nude pictures of students from cell phones he'd confiscated at school. An affidavit alleges Goodlett then uploaded pictures from at least one former student to a Russian website in exchange for other child porn. The student was 15 at the time the photo was taken. Goodlett was fired from his job as principal of LaRue County High School in October. He'd previously worked at Elizabethtown High. I'm Haley Hansen.
A report written by an attorney for a special House committee says the panel couldn't prove that Governor Matt Bevin stopped a road project in retaliation against a Democratic lawmaker who rejected the governor's request to become Republican. The 27-page report written by Nashville attorney Eli Richardson says the committee couldn't fully look at the issue. That was mostly because the Bevin administration wouldn't let transportation cabinet officials testify about the road project, and because the committee wasn't able to get testimony from the lawmaker, Representative Russ Meyer. The report did question the state payment of $625,000 in damages to the contractor for the delay.
The Kentucky Commission on Human Rights has ruled that a nursing and rehab facility in Berea discriminated against an employee because of her pregnancy. The commission's Board of Commissioners says the Terrence Nursing and Rehabilitation Facility discriminated against Lacey M. Clements in 2014. The board ordered the company pay $69,000 to Clements. The board says in a release, Clements was capable of performing her essential job functions with reasonable accommodations. The employer had asked her to take an unpaid 30-day leave after Clements became pregnant. A note from her doctor stipulated a weightlifting limit and warned her to stay away from harsh cleaning chemicals. The company refused to allow her to keep working. The commission's final order may be appealed to the appropriate circuit court.
Ashland has received an excellent field of applicants for its vacant city manager's job. That's according to City Commissioner Marty Goot. He says it's an experienced pool that includes some Ashland natives.
We're really excited about the candidates we have. You know, the applications came in kind of slow at first, but we have until the 31st, and right now we have some very, very good candidates, people that are already serving as city managers, that have really good backgrounds in the field, and I'm really hopeful that we can wrap this up by the end of March.
Former city manager Steve Corbett has been Ashland's interim manager for the past few months. The city has been without a permanent manager since the resignation of Benjamin Bitter nearly a year ago.
In addition to its quest to find a new city manager, Ashland commissioners will also need to name a replacement for retiring Fire Chief Scott Pennick. He's scheduled to leave his post February 1st after 26 years with the fire department. City Commissioner Matt Perkins says the board will act aggressively to fill the position.
It won't take as long as city manager. This commission is going to move quickly in all open positions. We're going to be pretty decisive.
The 51-year-old Pennick was Ashland's chief for the past 9 years. Deputy Chief Greg Ray will fill the position on an interim basis until a new chief is hired.
Western Kentucky University's Board of Regents has chosen Timothy C. Caboni from the University of Kansas to become Western's 10th president this summer. The 47-year-old Caboni will start work July 1st, succeeding Gary A. Ransdell, who is retiring. Caboni is a vice chancellor of public affairs at Kansas. He earned a master's degree in corporate and organizational communication from Western in 1994, a bachelor's from Louisiana State, and a doctorate from Vanderbilt. He said in a news release from Western he is excited about returning to lead his alma mater. Before going to Kansas, Caboni was associate dean of Peabody College of Education and Human Development at Vanderbilt. Ransdell is retiring after 20 years as Western's president.
The unemployment rate in the Gateway Area Development District stood at 5.9% at the end of 2016. That's the word from the Kentucky Career Center. The figure is more than a point lower than it was in December 2015. Brown County's jobless rate went from 5.7 to 5.1% over the same time frame. The results for the Buffalo Trace District were nearly identical, going from 7.2 to 6%. Unemployment also slipped more than a point in the Big Sandy District, where it was pegged at 8.9% last month. The jobless rate dropped in the Five Code District as well, but not quite as much. It went from 9% to 8.1%.
Republican Representative Bam Carney is among the Kentucky lawmakers who are eager to pursue school choice initiatives this year. He spoke at a rally in Frankfort today, sponsored by the National School Choice Coalition and EdChoice Kentucky.
We need to get politics out of the way.
Amen.
We need to get race out of the way. We need to get economic status out of the way and do what's best by the child. And I'm convinced that my 138 colleagues that are in Frankfort will make those measures happen and happen soon.
Carney and others are ready to take advantage of the Republican-filled legislature and have already filed legislation for school vouchers and charter schools.
Kentucky Utilities unveiled a new public electric car charging station in downtown Lexington Thursday. As Josh James reports, the station is its first outside of the utility's headquarters.
Blink, and you might miss the charging hub located along East High Street across from Calvary Baptist Church.
As the drivers drive up, the charging station itself, it's about $3 an hour per charge.
KU spokesperson Liz Pratt says the slender station is one of 10 the utility expects to build in its service area. It's a modest start, but not surprising, given there are only about 900 registered electric vehicles in the entire KU and LG&E service territory, covering 1.3 million customers. Still, Pratt says all indications suggest more drivers will be going electric in the coming years, and maybe, if you build it, they will come.
One of the barriers for some consumers is the fear that they won't be able to charge. So as electric vehicle pricing are coming down and there's more accessibility to charging stations, the intent is that the electric vehicle market will continue to grow.
KU installed its first charging station at its main building in 2016. Other private stations are dotted around town, including Tesla's first Kentucky supercharging station, which opened in Hamburg in 2015. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Ohioans who might be having trouble crunching the numbers for their income tax returns might be eligible for free assistance. The Ohio News Connection's Mary Schumerman reports.
The program connects taxpayers to certified counselors who can assist with local, state, and federal tax returns. Martin Terry with the Ohio Association of Food Banks, which runs the Ohio Benefit Bank, says the service has been around since 2006 and now assists nearly 35,000 families each year.
We started out just doing a few thousand returns. We've grown the past few years at least 10% every year. Last year, we hit our peak where we served 30,000 state returns and over 30,000 federal returns and returned tens of millions of dollars to the community in the form of refunds.
To be eligible for tax assistance through the Ohio Benefit Bank, filers must earn $65,000 or less annually, or $95,000 or less for married couples filing jointly. Returns can be filed online or by appointment with a local tax counselor. Program information is online at ohiobenefits.org. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
The nationwide Save Our Care bus tour rolls through Lexington this afternoon. As Josh James reports, the campaign aims to tell the stories of Americans who say they will suffer if Congress repeals federal health reform.
Repealing the Affordable Care Act without a suitable replacement is nothing short of retreat.
Save My Care grew out of a coalition of more than 25 national and state advocacy organizations, unions, think tanks, and other groups. Friday, the bus tour sets up shop in Phoenix Park alongside the Kentucky Center for Equal Justice, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, and Kentucky Voices for Health. The advocates are cautioning against what they called rushed efforts to, quote, take away nearly 500,000 Kentuckians' health care, end quote. Senator Mitch McConnell has said the status quo under the Affordable Care Act is unsustainable, and he favors a speedy repeal. Meanwhile, Senator Rand Paul has urged caution and is floating his own replacement, which eliminates the health insurance mandate and minimum standards for care, expands insurers' ability to operate across state lines, and gives those with pre-existing conditions a 2-year window to apply for coverage. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Turning to take a look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy with scattered snow showers in the evening, then flurries near dawn. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 30s. Saturday night, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow showers late, lows in the upper 20s. Sunday, cloudy with a 60% chance of snow showers, highs in the lower 30s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 20s, a 60% chance of snow. On Monday, mostly sunny with a 20% chance of snow showers, highs in the lower 30s. It is currently 34 degrees in Ashland, 32 in Flemingsburg, 32 degrees in Inez, 34 degrees in Lexington, it's 33 degrees in Winchester, And in Moorhead, it is currently 32 degrees.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University Professor John Modaff. He's dipping into the mailbag to deal with a potpourri of issues.
Well, there's the mail again, coming by the sack full lately due to the stressful times we're living in. No, not the inauguration, though that's part of it. Let's open some mail. Dear Professor, why are people so upset this election cycle? Electing a scoundrel to occupy the White House is a proud American tradition. Could be that Jacoby was right, and social amnesia has descended upon us. Signed, Remembering Wilson in Cahokia. Dear Remembering, right you are. That dog-lover Nixon was no charmer. Johnson had a potty mouth to put Trump to shame. Reagan dealt with Iran so he could meddle down south. Clinton engaged in extracurricular activities that some called crimes. John Adams threatened the press with prison if they dared to criticize. Roosevelt threw 20,000 innocent Americans in the slammer. Ford pardoned Nixon, and Mr. Obama built an unmatched surveillance state and seized record amounts of land for federal possession. Woodrow Wilson was a segregationist of the highest order, and G.W. Bush talked about Iraqi civilian deaths like he was pricing cattle. And we could go on. The chorus line of scoundrels, liars, miscreants, meddlers, and madmen can handle another installment. We'll be fine. Dear Professor Smart Aleck, maybe you should stick to speech and keep your mouth out of politics. Here's a question for you. Who is right, me or my boyfriend? He says when I get hives, they're called welts, and I say they're called whelps. We need a ruling, so earn your pay, Einstein. Signed, Margaret of Woodruff, Wisconsin. Dear Margaret, your ill will is as a red onion, but I shall restrain myself from tears. One can have bumps, called whelps, on one's arm in the South, no problem. About 30% of people will understand when you say so. But move north a bit or west, and folks are going to wonder what you're doing with puppies on your arm, which is the general denotative meaning of whelps. Puppies. Be patient, though. Your boyfriend and about 20 million other people can't be wrong, can they? Our time grows short, so let's dispense with reading letters and get down to answers so as to serve more of the needy. To Wallace G. of West Bristol, shaving a cat is definitely illegal. To A. Quisling of Manitoba, a curious web listener, Dan Conti is a lot taller than he looks. To Bill S., Margot T., and P.J. Boggs, all of Everly, yes, no, and ask your neighbors before you light that. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. The time is 4:48. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. My name is Ellen Barnett. Thanks for joining us. Nathan Gutierrez has been keeping an eye on your sports. He's up next.
The Vikings will battle in Royal Grounds. Good afternoon, reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, the Round County boys basketball team travels to Mason County tonight for a matchup with the 11-12 Royals. Coming off a 62-57 loss to West Carter on Monday, Round coach Sean Thacker says a win tonight could be a confidence booster for his club as they head into a challenging stretch of the schedule.
We got 5 games in 9 days. You know, we've got to really be able to get our nose to the grindstone and, you know, get back on the winning track. You know, it's not like that we've not had a good season. It's not like we haven't played some good basketball. I think the biggest thing we're trying to emphasize our kids is being consistent with that playing well.
Round is 14-6 on the year. As for the Round County girls basketball team, Coach Elaine Douglas and her Lady Vikings will return home tomorrow afternoon to take on St. Henry. Round County is 9-12 on the year and coming off a 48-32 loss from Russell. Tip-off is set for 3:30. It's a quick turnaround for the Moorhead State men's basketball team after last night's 76-73 loss at Tennessee Tech. The Eagles take on Jacksonville State tomorrow at noon. Interim coach Preston Spradlin says his team isn't dwelling on the loss and is ready to move on.
You know what? That's what our guys were saying in the locker room. I apologize to them. And they said, Coach, we just have to get ready for the next one. Let's learn from this one like we always do, and then we'll forget about it. And then we'll turn our attention to a very good Jacksonville State team, and again, on the road.
The Eagles are now 9-12 on the year. Jacksonville State is 13-10 this season, and like MSU, 5-3 in the OVC. Morehead State is still searching for the permanent replacement for former head coach Sean Woods. MSU Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says he knows what he's looking for in Morehead's next bench boss.
The bottom line for me is who wants to be our head coach. You know, it's not, there are a lot of people that want to be a head coach. There are a lot of people that want to be Division I head coach, but it takes a special person to want to be the head coach at Morehead State. And so their opportunity to sell that vision to me is important, and I'm looking for some certain things from them to ensure that they understand what we're trying to do.
Hutchinson says MSU is committed to letting Preston Spradlin finish the season as the interim head coach. The Morehead State women's basketball team is in Jacksonville, Alabama to face off with Jacksonville State tomorrow as well. Coming off Wednesday's 79-65 win over Tennessee Tech, MSU head coach Greg Todd says Saturday will be another tough OVC matchup for his team.
We actually had a pretty good year last year against them. We were able to win the last game of the year at their place, and but it is it's a tough win. Coach Petrie does a great job, and we anticipate a definitely very tough physical game, and look forward to it.
MSU is 16-5 on the year, 6-2 in conference. Jacksonville State is 9-1 this season, 2-6 in the OVC. After coming off an 82-80 loss against Tennessee, the Kentucky basketball team will return to Rupp Arena tomorrow evening at 6:15 to take on number 2 Kansas. Coach John Calipari knows taking on the Jayhawks will not be an easy task, especially with their record behind the arc.
They're good. They drive the ball like we drive the ball. Difference is they shoot 42% from the three. So if you say, well, we're going to get in here, and then, well, they make threes. That's what they do.
The Wildcats are 17-3 on the year. Kansas holds a record of 18-2 overall. And after coming off a 106-51 win over Pittsburgh on Tuesday, Rick Pitino and his Cards will host North Carolina State on Sunday. Louisville is 17-4 on the year. Game time is set for 1. New Morgan County football coach Mike Easterling knows he doesn't have an easy task ahead of him. Morgan County went just 1-9 last season, and Easterling says getting more students to join the football team will be his main priority.
Getting kids excited again about the football program. We're getting ready to open a big new facility, which is going to bring a lot of kids back out. Getting them excited about coming to work, getting them excited about practicing. That way, maybe game times will be a little easier on us. And just getting these kids back out and back involved with our program. It's going to be a good challenge, but I think we're ready for it.
Morgan County opens up the 2017 season at home against Rowan County. With only 9 days left until the NFL's championship game, the Atlanta Falcons continue to prep for their big contest against the Patriots. Offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan believes with the versatility of its players, taking on New England's defense will be a difficult challenge for his team.
They are extremely tough to score against. That's why they're number one in the NFL. I believe only one game this year someone scored 30 points. They have very good players all around, players that are interchangeable, that can be pass rushers, that can be linebackers, that can be corners, that can be safeties, and they have an extremely good scheme.
Both teams hold the record of finishing the regular season with only 11 turnovers, the fewest in the league. Kickoff is set for 6:30 p.m. on February 5th. And finally for today in sports, the Morehead State baseball team gets the season started 3 weeks from today with a tournament in Jackson, Mississippi. Coming off back-to-back 30-win seasons, Morehead head man Mike McGuire says he looks forward to having a more experienced ball club this season.
We return 8 starters, and that's very exciting for us as a team that was young last year, where, you know, we're going to be running a lineup out there of guys that have been there and done that. And I think that allows you to have some stability and not have the growing pains that maybe we went through a little bit last year from a position player standpoint.
MSU gets things going against Jacksonville University on February 17th. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed after the initial fourth quarter GDP reading fell short of estimates, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 7.13, finishing at 20,093.78. The S&P 500 was down 1.99 at 2294.69. The NASDAQ Composite did manage a gain of 5.61 at 5660.78. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 8-6 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The Energy Select Sector Spider Fund was down 1% as oil prices were weak today. WTI West Texas Intermediate crude was down 1.13%, settling at $53.17 a barrel. Gross domestic product increased at a 1.9% annual rate in the fourth quarter, and this is the initial reading from the Commerce Department, and this fell short of estimates, and this was a sharp deceleration from the growth we had in the third quarter, which came in at 3.5%. Other economic data reported included durable goods orders, which fell 0.4% in December, and consumer sentiment for January, which hit 98.5, and this was above estimates of 98.1. In corporate news, earnings season continued with Colgate-Palmolive, American Airlines, AbbVie, and General Dynamics all reporting before the bell. Colgate-Palmolive was down 5% on disappointing revenues, and AbbVie was down 2% on, again, disappointing revenues. American Airlines was down 5% because of concerns over the company's rising labor costs that were part of the report. General Dynamics, on the other hand, was up 4% as the company did beat on profit estimates. Overseas, European equities fell, with the pan-European Stoxx 600 index dropping 0.3% as a global stock rally paused. Stocks in Europe have lagged their U.S. counterparts over the past year. However, according to several analysts, they may be ripe for a surprise to the upside this year. Gold's up almost 1%, finishing at $1,191 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Microsoft and Caterpillar. The worst performers were Chevron and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Wynn Resorts and C.R. Bard. And the worst performers were Robert Half International and Gap. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.65 at $118.90. CSX down 54 cents at 48.06, AEP up 32 cents at 62.96, AK Steel down 12 cents at 8.07, Marathon Petroleum down 37 cents at 49.07, and Kroger was down 39 cents to finish at 33.35. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Murray State on Wednesday, February 1st. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com. Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies, scattered snow showers in the evening. Then flurries near dawn, lows will be in the mid-20s, and that chance of snow is at 40%. Your Saturday will be mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 30s. Saturday night, cloudy skies, there's a 20% chance of snow showers late. Temperatures will be in the upper 20s. Sunday, cloudy, there's a 60% chance of snow showers, and highs will be in the lower 30s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 20s. With a 60% chance of snow. Monday will be mostly sunny with a 20% chance of snow showers, highs in the lower 30s. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of snow, lows in the mid-20s. Your Tuesday will be mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-40s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain or snow, lows in the lower 30s. Your Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 30s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 20s, and your Thursday will be mostly sunny, highs in the upper 30s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 34 degrees in Ashland, 32 in Flemingsburg and Inez, it's 34 in Lexington, 33 in Winchester, and it is 32 here on the campus of Morehead State University. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler. Josh James from the Kentucky News Network. And our feature segment this afternoon was from MSU Professor John Modath. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WNKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Ellen Barnett for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.